Please turn with me to Psalm 119. As we continue to meditate upon this subject of cleansing, a cleansing that is pictured by the waters of baptism, a cleansing that points us to the only source of cleansing, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. We turned into Psalm 119 as we are reminded, what cleanses the young man's way? And what we notice in verses 19 through 16 of Psalm 119, as we already know, Psalm 119 is focused on unveiling to us the bliss, the glories, the blessedness of God's holy word, is that there is only one path for cleansing. And the path of cleansing is indeed the blessed word of the Lord. There is only one path for purity, and that path is through the word of the living God. With this in mind, please turn your attention to Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. This is God's holy and inerrant word. Hear it with faith. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With your lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Please turn with me as well to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 1 as a complementary reading. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 14, we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us return to Psalm 119. Let us pray together. Almighty God in heaven, as we meditate upon your word, Father, we pray, guide us unto all truth. Lord, may you comfort and encourage our hearts and souls. May we strengthen our faith, O Lord, in your word. Especially, O Lord, in the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we continue, O Lord, to meditate and think about this cleansing that come only from above, only from your divine hands, may you deliver us, O Lord, from any error, mistake, or superstition, but may you, O Lord, guide us unto all cleanness that we can find only in the blessed person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His name, Father, we pray. Amen. I trust you have observed every time we go through the form of baptism that there is this particular address to the parents. There was this concern coming from the pen of our fathers that as they bring their children to receive the sign and seal of the covenant, there would be, using their language, that there would not be any room for custom or superstition. Now, let us keep in mind that our form dates all the way back of the first half of the early 17th century, And that really reminds us of the big problem of the plagues that assaulted the church at that time. With pastoral inclination here, our fathers are very much concerned that those two problems that were assaulting the church, doing things out of custom or doing things out of superstition, would be the motivators or the motivation for parents to bring their children to receive the sign and seal of the covenant. How can we fight against these problems? How can we ourselves, as we think about the cleansing that come from the Lord, that's signified by the sign of the covenant, how can we as well, in the 21st century, not be assaulted by these very same two plagues, custom or superstition? It seems to me that verses 9 through 16 of Psalm 119 helps us immensely in that. As it deals with the cleansing of the way of a young man, it is really dealing with the cleansing of the way of any true member of the covenant. Although the psalmist is focusing here on the needs of the young, certainly the very same principles we see in this text may be applied to any child of God who, fleeing from either custom or superstition regarding the cleansing that comes from above, do not trust simply in the symbol that the Lord Jesus Christ has assigned to typify, to point us to that cleansing, but focus on where cleansing can come from. And as we look to these verses, we notice that our Lord cleanses us indeed. Because He is absolutely pure. Because as He adopts us in Christ, there must be cleansing. He cleanses us through His Word. He purifies us both in our hearts, in our lips, and in our minds through His blessed Word. And that's exactly the message we see in these verses 9 through 16. How can indeed a member of God's covenant keep his way clean? How can his way be cleansed? And what we notice in these verses is that Yahweh purifies His people. Yahweh indeed cleanses His people. He cleanses His people's heart, His people's lips, His people's minds through His living Word. And that's the three points we consider tonight. It's the natural division of the text. Verses 9 to 10 teaches us that Yahweh purifies our hearts through His living Word. And we notice that in verses 12 through 14 that Yahweh purifies our lips through His Word. And lastly, in verses 15 and 16, we notice that Yahweh purifies our minds through His living Word. Yahweh purifies our hearts through His living Word, our lips through His living Word, and our minds through His living Word. As we notice in the first section, verses 9 through 11, there is this focus on the young, and rightly so, isn't it? There are at least two elements regarding the young that we should have in mind. Number one is those special needs regarding the lack of maturity, the lack of experience, the lack of walk in this world, as some would say, the lack of malice, if you will, the lack of ability to understand, not malice in the sense of sin or wickedness, but malice in the sense of being able to discern the intents of man, the temptations of Satan, and to respond to it in a godly manner. There is also the problem of lack of control regarding the passions of youth. There is the hormones that kicks in. There are the temptations that the words place, the distractions that are placed before the youth that embezzled them and captivate their attention and deviate from the path. And so rightly so, the psalmist is very much concerned with how is it then that the young who has so many threats to live, to walk in a clean way, how can he be protected? And again, isn't that the same concern that all of us have regarding not only the young that we have in our own homes, but regarding our own lives? Don't we sometimes lack maturity in answering appropriately to situations that come upon us? Do we also do not struggle, not with the passions of youth, but with the passions of middle age or the passions of old age? How can we keep this way clean? Well, the psalmist comes to our aid, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he enlightens us is that there is this connection between word and heart. Notice the focus on the very first three verses of the central role of the heart in the life of the believer. Verse 10, he says, "With my whole heart I have sought you." In verse 11, he again says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart." So notice that in these very three verses, the focus is on the heart. And again, it's wonderful to bring back to our minds the biblical view of heart. What is the heart? Is it the organ that we have inside of us? Of course not. In the biblical mind, in biblical anthropology, if you will, the heart is the center of man. The heart is what man is. His ideas, his inclinations, his desires, his thoughts, his volition. Everything that makes man to be what he is, that is summarized in this single word, the heart. And you see here and then in these three verses, this connection between the heart and the word. That the way to pursue this cleansing, this purity, is when the heart and the word are mixed together. Notice how quickly the psalmist that makes us conclude that purity and cleansing is not found in any natural means. There is nothing natural that will lead us to cleansing. There are some natural things that may lead us to good costume. There are some natural things that may lead us to good practices, but not through cleansing, not to real purity. Perhaps to change of behavior, but not real transformation of the heart. And so the psalmist is reminding us that it's only this connection between the heart and the word. It's only when the word then is sought in the heart and dwells in the heart that this true cleansing takes place. Notice how fervently he prays that the Lord will be the one who will make the heart dwell in his heart. Look again at verse 10. Oh, let not me wander from your commandments. You see, while there is this understanding that as I know the word and as I know God's law, God's statutes, and they abide in my heart, this understanding, this knowledge on itself is not enough. I need divine intervention. I need the Lord to come alongside me and to sustain me, to keep me in His ways. In other words, the Lord Himself is the source of cleansing. And through His Word, abiding in His people's hearts, He keep His people in a clean way. Let me not wander from your commandments. Let me hide your word in my heart. And that's the first step to cleansing, isn't it, Christian? According to the psalmist, Yahweh purifies His people as He keeps His people with His word in their hearts. When the Lord brings His word into the hearts of His people, it's not through any material aid, but it's a supernatural intervention. There are no external elements, but it's an internal transformation. It is the Lord working Himself in the heart of man, keeping them in His law, in His statutes, that preserves one's way clean. But secondly, we notice that as that takes place, there is an overflow of that cleansing. The cleansing that begins in the heart overflows externally, and it moves to the lips of the psalmist. Look at verses 12 through 14 now. He begins adoring the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. We have this connection here in verse 12 of prayer and praise. There is this exalting of Yahweh. Notice once again the covenantal name of the Lord being employed by the psalmist. What he has in mind, God's redemption, God's covenantal faithfulness from generation upon generation. God coming alongside his people and sustaining them unwaveringly. Always with them. Always coming alongside them. He praises and pray that the Lord will continue to instruct them, to guide him. Now notice verse 13. That as that transformation of the heart, the sustaining of the heart in the Lord who is faithful, covenantally faithful, generation upon generation is working in one's heart, that is externalized. Verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Remember that in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ addressing the Pharisees in Luke chapter 6, clearly says that it is out of the heart that flows what comes to the mouth. Out of the heart overflows what comes through our mouth. Isn't that exactly what we see here in verse 13? As one is instructed by Yahweh, as one is kept cleansed through his living word, through his life-giving word, now he moves his lips. That which is internal is turned into speech, is reflected in the way he communicates, and his lips now proclaim. Look again at verse 13. His words are declared the judgments of your mouth. Now, this involves a declaration in the midst of the congregation among Christians, but also in the midst of the unbelievers. It is a personal verbal testimony of what the Lord is doing. We see that in the New Testament, don't we? Ephesians chapter 5, for example, call us to speak, not to sing, but to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Isn't that the word of the Lord that abides in our hearts overflowing through our mouth? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, calls us to be ready to give an answer to those who ask the reason of our faith. Isn't that the living word that is in our heart overflowing through our mouths? That's what we see in verse 13. Why this overflow happens? Out of duty? Coerced? Out of obligation? Not at all. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone winning a big prize. I know that when my kids get something free, they go back home and the first thing they do is say, "Daddy, look what I got." It's a tiny thing. Sometimes it's just a plastic toy, but they are so happy that they got something free. There are those out there who delight in the riches that they have. They boast about it. Their mansions and yachts and how successful their businesses are. But what is the treasure of the Christian? Isn't it what the psalmist is saying in verse 14? The testimonies of the Lord grant me joy, as much as all sorts of riches. While there are those who boast upon their possessions, upon material blessings that they may have been receiving, the Christian then rejoices in the judgments of the Lord, in the status of the Lord, in the living word of the Lord. That is the reason why his mouth is always full of it. Because there is joy in him for it. It's not out of coercion. It's not out of obligation. It's not because he has a duty to evangelize or to do Bible studies with their families. It's because there is true joy. That's the modification of the heart, isn't it? As Yahweh purifies one's heart through his living word, he also purifies one's lips through his living word. But lastly, that which abides in the heart moves to the lips, also fills the mind. Isn't that one of the biggest problems in our days? That our minds are filled with everything but the Word of God. Our minds are filled with the news. Our minds are filled with hurt memories, hurtful memories, mourning memories. But look at verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts. I really hope you're seeing the dynamics of the psalmist here. That which begins in the heart through the divine supernatural agency of the Lord then moves to the lips, but now floods into the mind. It occupies the mind. Indeed, please observe in verse 15 that there is a resolution on the part of the psalmist to meditate on the precepts of Yahweh. There is this resolution, which is obviously the source, the fruit of a transformed heart. But notice that as we come to the end of this section, what is keeping the clean way of a young man? What is carrying on this theme of cleansing and purity? It's the meditation of the word of the Lord. In other words, the word of the Lord is food for thought. It's food for our minds. It's more than true understanding. It is true understanding, but it's also deep pondering. It's diligent application of the Word of God into our own lives. In fact, what we notice here in verses 15 and 16 are three effects of meditating in the Lord, in the words of the Lord. Three effects that move us in this path of purity. The first one is indeed application. Look at, again, verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Now, the word contemplation here give us the ideal of comparing one ways with the Lord's ways. Applying the principles of the ways of the Lord in one's own lives. Contemplation is indeed this deep meditation, this deep respect and regard. In fact, if you're reading from the King James, instead of contemplate, you will have there, I will have respect. I will ponder upon your statutes and I will apply it into my own lives. I will submit. I'll have respect. I'll submit to it. The first effect then when we have our minds focused in the word of the Lord is this application. We're not saying to point fingers to others, but we are always meditating upon the Lord regarding our own lives, our own walk with Christ. We are always and constantly not simply gathering intellectual information or ammunition for debates, but we are now, as the psalmist have said in the beginning, we are experiencing the cleansing of our way because our minds abide in God's law. But there's a second effect also. Look at verse 16. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. It brings me joy to meditate in your word, to make it here present in my mind, to make it food for my thought, gives me great delight. Now, boys and girls, I know that you have things that gives you lots of great delight. Sometimes it's playing with your favorite toys. Sometimes it's watching different movies. And you spend, if your parents let you, spend a good deal of time doing those things. Do you have the same delight or a higher, in fact, a higher delight in meditating upon the words of the Lord? In times when your dad opened the Word of God and read and apply it to your family. In those moments when you are together discussing the word of the Lord and the statutes of the Lord, the living word of Yahweh that changes and cleanses our way, is there true delight? That's the reason why the word of God brings cleansing and is food for thought, because there's great joy in doing so. The third element is perseverance. That's the end of verse 16. There is application, there is pleasure, but there's perseverance. I will not forget your word. Of course, the psalmist here is not depending on his own strength or in the power of his own brains to have always the word of the Lord upon his mind. He has already over and over again through this section pleaded, prayed, asked the Lord to be with him and to make him meditate and learn and delight in his own law. But notice again this resolution that is that revolves around the mind. I will not forget. Doesn't that give us a hint? There will be moments in which we are tempted to forget. Don't we have here a clue that, Christian, beware of moments when you will be tempted to forget my statutes, my promises, my covenant faithfulness? Forget it not. Forget it not. For I have not changed, and I will continue to give joy as you delight in your mind, as you persevere in your mind, abiding in my living word. And you see, Christians, how the Lord then purifies our way. How is it that the Lord cleanses our way? It is through his word. It is through his word that Yahweh preserves our heart. It is through his word that Yahweh preserves our lips. It is through his word that Yahweh preserves our minds. But as the Gospel of John already taught us, who is the Word of God? You see, when we bring together the light of the New Testament into the shadows of the Old Testament, inescapably, we have to conclude that it is only through Christ, the living Word, who made himself flesh, that we are sustained in our hearts, in our lips, and in our minds. This is where the cleansing of the Christian is found. This is what baptism proclaims to us. Baptism proclaims to us that cleansing is found in none other but in the living, incarnate Word of God. And let us, therefore, together be reminded of that. As we live our own Christian's life, as we put to death the deeds of the flesh, as we encourage one another to live faithful for the Lord, we cannot do any of these things. We cannot be preserved and purified unless we are all united and bound to Christ and to his cross. It is only when we are abiding in the living incarnate Word of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Church, that then our hearts will persevere. Our lips will persevere. Our minds will be cleansed. Let us also not despise the words of our Lord. In John 17, he says, praying for us. He says, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Do you see once again in the lips of the Lord Jesus the connection between cleansing and the word? Sanctify, cleanse them. How is that going to be accomplished? Through the truth in the word. As we focus in the incarnate word, we are not at all to despise. On the contrary, because our focus is in the living word, our focus is on the words that come out of the mouth of the living word, Christian. And therefore, we continue to respond this question, how can one cleanse his way? It is only through the work of the living word as we abide in the words of the living word. When we abide in the word of the living word, then our hearts are purified, our lips are purified, and our minds are purified. All the truths of these verses from 9 through 16 then become true when we abide in the word of truth that came from the lips of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the true source and the only source of cleansing. Exactly as our forefathers taught us, that we are all born with our children in sin, and that we are sanctified, cleansed in Christ, and therefore we persevere in his word. Christian, are you persevering in this path of cleansing? Do you sit here tonight not only for yourself, but as heads of households, the fathers here present, as leaders of this congregation, as those who live as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you persevering in that cleansing that comes from above through the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ that is supported and carried on in our lives through His blessed Word? Are you seeking this purification of heart and lips and minds? Is this what your heart's delight on, your lips desire, and your mind rejoices? That's the call of the Christian. That's the cleansed way that Christ has paved for us to walk on through His cross. Let us therefore embrace it, pursue it, live it for the glory of Christ, who is our only source of cleansing. Let us pray together. Almighty God in heaven, thank you for reminding us where true cleansing can be found, only in your incarnate Word and through the words of the incarnate Word. Lord, we pray that as we are reminded of these things tonight, even as, O Lord, who received the sign and seal of the covenant that points to that cleansing, to that purification, to that separation, Lord, we pray, help us to persevere and delight in these things. Help us, Lord, to delight and desire for this cleansing of heart, for this cleansing of lips and minds. Help us, O Lord, to rejoice as we pursue and see these things fructifying in us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to pursue these things for ourselves, O Lord, and in the lives of those who are under our shepherding. May we, O Lord, not only persevere in your word and in the word incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, but may we also encourage those who surround us, who are under our leadership, to pursue the same. And in this way, O Lord, may be Christ all in all for the glory of the name of our King. In His name, Lord, we pray. Amen.